Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Now today, let's join Pastor Rick as he shares the final part of a message called The Prayer of Dependence.
Now, every time God gives a negative, don't do this, He always follows it with a positive. Do this instead. Don't do this, do this. And when He says, worry about nothing, the next thing He says is this, pray about everything. He says, here's the alternative. I don't want you worrying, I want you praying. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Everything? Yep, every single thing. God says, here's what you can do in life. You got two choices. You can worry or you can pray. And every day you're doing one of the others. And every time you worry, you're not praying. And every time you pray, you're not worrying. So you got two choices. You can either pray or panic, or you can worry or you can worship. And you're always going to be doing one or the other in life, talking to God about it or talking to yourself. Now, worry has never solved the problem. It's never solved a single problem. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of motion, but no forward action. Worry has never solved any problem. It is the most useless emotion. But prayer can change things. If you prayed as much as you worry, if you prayed about all the things you worry about, you'd have a lot less to worry about. Those are your alternatives. He says, worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Everything? Yeah, literally. There's nothing you can't pray about. Look at this verse, Romans 8:32. Since God did not spare even His own Son for us, in other words, He sent Jesus to die for us, since God did not spare even His own Son to die for us, but He gave Him up for all of us, won't He also surely give us everything else? God solved your biggest problem when He sent Jesus to die for you. Your biggest problem was getting you into heaven, paying for all your sins, righting all your wrongs, earning your forgiveness. And when Jesus died for you, if God loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you, don't you think He loves you enough to take care of all these other problems? Every other problem in your life is small potatoes after salvation. Once He's come and saved you, everything else is insignificant by comparison. So He's saying, don't worry, pray about everything. And if God cared enough to die for you, then He's going to care enough to take care of all your needs. Pray about everything. Third thing He says in this verse is He says, thank God in all things. In all things, He says, give thanks. Now, circle the word in. Because remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It doesn't say for all things give thanks. It says in all things give thanks. You don't have to be thankful for bad things in your life. You should never be thankful for evil. You don't have to be thankful for cancer or a car accident or rape or a war or abuse or any of those other bad things in life. That would be sick. God doesn't say be thankful for everything. There's a lot of things that we hate in life, we dislike in life. But God says in everything give thanks. Why? Because I know God's going to take care of me. I know He's going to meet my needs. I know He's going to help me. I know that if I don't worry, but I trust Him, I see Him as my source, and I trust Him one day at a time, He's going to take me through this. So I thank God in all things. And then there's the fourth thing that you do. And what I'm giving you is the strategy for stress reduction. Think about the right thing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. Think about the right thing. Whatever you put your mind on is what's going to get you. You fill your mind with worries, you're going to be down, depressed, discouraged, defeated. You fill your mind with the right things, you're going to be lifted up, hopeful, encouraged, and positive. Think about the right things. Now notice, He tells us, so gives us a list of things to think about. He says, fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, what's pure and lovely and admirable, what's excellent, what's worthy of praise. Where do you find things that are pure and lovely to think about? At the movies? I don't think so. No, that's not Pure and Lovely at the movies. On television? No, I don't think so. Where are you going to find pure and lovely and honorable thoughts? Right here in the truth of God. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more you're going to be at peace. You need to read it, study it, memorize it, buy the Bible on CD, listen to it. Any way you can get it into your life, you fill your mind, you flood your mind. Because in your mind, you've got this scale. And on one side is all the bad things that the world is telling you. And on the other side is all the good things that the Word is telling you. And you're going to base your life on the world or the Word. The world or the Word. And if you listen, and if you spend more time reading the paper than God's Word, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be more negative because it's filled with bad news. You read the bad news or the good news. God says, fill your mind with the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word. The Bible says this up here on the screen, Isaiah 26. He, God, will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Do your thoughts turn often to the Lord, or do you only think about him on Sundays? Where do your thoughts turn most often? To sex? To People magazine? To making money? To impressing other people? What do you think about the most? God says, if you want to have peace in the middle of tough times, you got to think about the Word. Now, there's a third key to depending on God. I see him as my source. It all comes from him. It's all a gift. I trust him one day at a time. I worry about nothing. I pray about everything. I thank him in all things, and I keep my mind on the right thing. And the third thing, this is very important, I share whatever he supplies. Trusting God, depending on God, means sharing whatever he supplies. Sharing whatever he supplies. When God gives you something, I'm telling you, he always wants you to share it with everybody else. Everything God gives to you, he wants you to share it. Notice, it doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. It said, give us this day our daily bread. We're to share it. We are to share it. Why does God want you to share it? He wants you to learn to be like him. God shares everything he's got with you. God is generous. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God says, I want you to become like me. I want you to be loving, and I want you to learn how to share. Now, how do you spell love? You spell love G-I-V-E. Love is all about giving. Lust is all about getting. Love is all about giving. When you say to somebody in a Valentine's card, I need you, I want you, I've got to have you. Sorry, that's not love. That's lust. Love is, what can I do for you? How can I meet your needs? What can I give to you? Lust is all about, I need you, I want you, I gotta have you, I can't exist without you. That's about me. Love is unselfish, it's about you. You see, most love songs aren't really love songs at all. They're lust songs. I once did a study on VH1 and on Rolling Stone magazine, the top 500 love songs. And I went through the list, and about half of them aren't even love songs. They're lust songs. You gotta give it to me. Give it to me now. I want it. I gotta have it. And if you don't give it, I'm gonna take it. Rock on. You see, I'm really just a frustrated rock star. I know. That's not a love song. I hate to tell you that, but, you know, we're going to party all night and you're going to give it to me. That is a lust song. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has all to do without meeting your needs. Now, God says, I want you to learn to love. And love is all about sharing. Give us today our daily bread. Now, God wants you to learn to trust him. And one of the ways you learn to trust him is by sharing. You see, God is testing you every day of your life. God puts you on this planet. And the entire time you're on this planet, God is testing you to see your reaction. And he's testing you in many different ways, but one of the things he's testing you for is, how much will you trust God? How much will you depend on God? And the number one way God tests your faith, you know what it is? Money. Finances. It's the number one way God tests. Are you going to worry? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to worry about your finances? Or are you going to trust me? Are you going to be stingy? Or are you going to share? Are you going to hold on and hoard because you're afraid you're not going to get any more? Or are you going to be open and generous with people around you who are in need? God is testing you. He wants you to learn to be like him. Now, the problem is, the more money you've got, I hate to tell you this, but it's true, the less you depend on God. You see, you don't depend on God when you can just go charge it. You don't ever pray about it. You just go buy it. You got a big bank account. The more money you've got, the less you depend on God. You depend on your bank account. You depend on your checkbook. You depend on your investments. It's why the Bible says it is more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Why does he say that? Because money is bad? No, not at all. Some of the greatest saints in history were quite wealthy. Why is it? Because the more money you have, the less you tend to depend on God. You tend to depend on your bank account. That's why the Bible says that the poor, God has chosen to be rich in faith. Why? Because you don't know God's all you need till God's all you got. The greatest people of faith that I've met in life, none of them live in America. None of them. Because when you don't have anything, you're dirt poor. You don't have a house. You don't have clothes. You don't have food. You're dependent on God for your daily bread. We're not at that level of dependence. And yet God says, I want you to trust me, and I'm testing you to see how much you'll depend on me. And I'm testing to see whether you will share what I supply to you. Three things you need to remember. Number one, what God gives to me, he wants to give through me. Very important principle. I had to learn this many years ago, and it changed my life. Whatever God gives to me, he wants to give through me. God is looking for people that he can bless the world with. And he looks around and said, will you be a cup or will you be a straw? If you're a cup, you just give us this day our daily bread and you fill up my cup and that's it and I'm going to keep it all. But if you'll say, God, I'll be a straw and you can channel through me to other people, blessing, physical, material, special blessing, God says, that's the kind of person I want to bless. My life is an example of that truth. That the more you give in your life, whatever you give in your life, the more God blesses you and blesses you. Because the more you care about other people, the more God cares. He says, whatever I give to you, I want to give through you. Now, let me give you an example of this. Look up here on the screen. Very important verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God, who supplies seed for the sower, that means the farmer who's out sowing seed. God who supplies seed for the farmer and bread to eat. Notice God says, I don't want to just give you daily bread. I want to give you daily seed. I'm going to give you enough that you can eat it, bread to eat, but I'm also going to give you more than enough so that you can plant some of it. I'm going to give you more than enough so you have bread to eat yourself, but you also can use some of it to give away. And you can use some of it to invest. And you can use some of it as seed. I'm not just going to give you bread, I'm going to give you seed. God who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat will also supply you with all the seed you need. And he will make it grow. This is an amazing promise. And he will make it grow. And he will produce a rich harvest from your what? generosity. This whole promise is built on, are you willing to share what he supplies with you? Are you willing to pass on the blessing to others that God blesses you with? He'll make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. He will always make you rich enough to be generous at all times. You say, wait a minute, I'm not rich enough to be generous. Oh, yes, you are. No matter how much you've got, you can be generous. There's the story of a woman in the Bible who only had 2 pennies, and yet she gave them away. You can always give something. It's a myth that, I don't have enough to give. You can always give something, and God is testing you. He says, a rich harvest for your generosity. He will make you rich enough to be generous at all times, so that many will give thanks for your gifts, the people you help, the poor, your neighbors, your friends, whoever. And he says, this service you perform, in other words, being generous with what God has given you, this service you perform will not only meet the needs of God's people, but will also produce an outpouring of gratitude to God. Now he says this, when you're going through a tough time and you say, God, I don't have much, but whatever I've got, I'm willing to share it. I only got a little food here, but I'm willing to invite somebody over for dinner. I'm willing to share whatever I've got. God says, I'll do 3 things. 1, you grow spiritually. 2, other people's needs get met. And 3, God gets thanks. He gets praised. God says, when you do that, I am going to open the door of blessing in your life like you cannot believe. And that leads me to the second truth, very important truth. When I meet others' needs, God takes care of mine. When I meet others' needs, God takes care of mine. This is a test. When I meet others' needs, when I focus, even though I don't have much at all, I've just got a little. When I work on helping others, God says, that's the kind of person I'm going to bless, and he takes care of my needs. And let me show you an amazing verse. It's there on your outline, and I want you to notice what it says. And I'm going to have you number the 5 benefits. First, he says, share your bread with the hungry. Okay, I can do that. I got it. Then he says, open your homes to the homeless poor. Got it. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear. Got it. And do not refuse to help your own relatives. Oh, come on. I was with you, Lord, till you got to that one. Do not refuse to help. You mean I got to help old Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so? Yep. God says, this is a test. Doesn't matter whether they deserve it or not. This is a test. Now he says, when I meet others' needs, he'll take care of mine. And God makes 5 amazing promises. I want you to number them there on your outline. Put a number. Number 1, he says, then, number 1, my favor will shine on you like the morning sun. That's good. I get God's favor in my life. Number 2, he says, your wounds will be quickly healed. Whoa. My financial wounds? Yeah. My emotional wounds? Yeah. My relational wounds? Yeah. He says, your wounds will be healed quickly because you helped somebody else. Then number 3, he says, I will always be with you to save you. That's a good thing. Number 4, you write number 4, my presence will protect you on every side. Whoa. And number 5, and when you pray, I will answer you. Whoa. The best time to learn to be generous, the best time to start tithing is in the middle of a drought, of a difficult time. There's a 3rd principle. You can write this one down. Whatever I give to God, he multiplies. Whatever I give to God, he multiplies. If I give God my talent, he'll multiply my talent. If I give God my energy, he'll multiply my energy. If I give God my time and I start my day with a daily quiet time with him, he will multiply my time. If I give God my money, he will multiply my money. If I give God my relationships, he will multiply my relationships. Whatever I give to God, he's going to multiply and give it back. This is the story, example in the Bible of the feeding of 5,000 people. There's a miracle in the Bible, and Jesus did it to teach this truth. 5,000 people had followed Jesus out into the middle of the desert, and he teaches them for all day, and at the end of the day, they're hungry, and there's no McDonald's anywhere. And the disciples, the 12 guys, come to Jesus and say, Jesus, send them all away. They're all hungry. And Jesus looks at these 12 guys and says, you guys feed them. I'm sure they swallowed hard on that one. What's he doing? He's testing their faith. Will you depend on me? You guys feed them. It's like if he says to Saddleback Church, there's millions of people in Southern California who are spiritually hungry. I want your church to feed them. God, we can't do that. We're just one church. Yeah, but with me, I can do it. And they go out and they find in this entire crowd of 5,000 people, one little boy brought a sack lunch. And he's got his little lunch pail, and inside his lunch pail are five little loaves of bread, little tiny rolls, and two fish, two dried fish. He's the only guy who's got a lunch. And the little boy brings his lunch to Jesus and said, Lord, you can have this. Whatever I give to God, he multiplies. And Jesus took that bread and those loaves, and it says he prayed, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he multiplied it. And as he began to tear it apart and break it apart, it began to feed everybody, and it fed all 5,000 people, 5,000 witnesses to this miracle. And then it says when they picked up all of the leftovers at the end, there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers of fish and loaves that weren't eaten. He always gives you more than you could handle. He took it, he broke it, he blessed it, and he used it. That's what God does in your life. The hard part is the breaking part. When God takes you, and then he breaks you, and then he blesses you, and then he uses you. It's whatever I give to God, he multiplies. Look at this verse on the screen. We talked about, give us this day our daily bread. The Bible says, then cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you'll get it back. What in the world does that mean? Cast your bread on the water. Sounds like I'm going to have a soggy loaf of bread if I throw it on the water. It's just an old expression. You know, it's like when we have the expression, you're pulling my leg. It doesn't mean you're pulling my leg. It means you're kidding me. You're putting me on. And cast your bread upon the waters, and then you'll get it back. It's just this old principle that says, whatever you give to God, he's going to multiply and give back to you. Let me give you another example of it. Look at this verse. It's possible to give freely and become more wealthy. It's possible to be generous and give and become more wealthy. But those who are stingy will lose everything. Now, the first church in Jerusalem was very famous for this. They were world famous for their generosity, world famous for their compassion, helping each other out. I want you to be that way. I want this church to be world famous for its compassion, for its generosity, for its trust in God. Now, friends, I don't know where you're hurting today, okay? You may be hurting financially already. Some of you are, I know. Some of you are hurting from something way long in the past, or emotional hurt or physical hurt. You're going through a tough time right now. Regardless of what you're going through, I want to invite you to become a part of a movement. A movement that says we're going to trust God even in tough times. But I'm going to call it the STS Club. I'm going to see God as my source. I'm going to trust God for today. And I'm going to share what he supplies, STS. How do you do that? Two things. You first accept Jesus Christ into your life. Last verse on the screen. Jesus said, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and he gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day of our lives. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. And those who believe in me will never thirst. No matter how much you eat, in a few hours, you get hungry again. No matter how much you drink, in a few hours, you get thirsty again. Spiritually, there's a hunger in your heart that only God can fill. No woman will ever feel that hunger in your heart. No man will ever fill that hunger in your heart. That man does not exist. It is a hole in your heart, and it's a hunger for God, and you don't know it, but it's God you're looking for, and you need Him. And when you let Him fill that hunger, oh, you never thirst again. You never hunger again. Now, I challenge you to open your heart to Christ and then say, we're going to see God as our source, not Washington, not Wall Street, not my job, not anybody else. And I'm going to trust God on a daily basis, not for monthly bread, for daily bread. And I'm going to share whatever He gives me, even if it's a little. I'm going to share it. And I'm going to watch God multiply it. Let's bow our heads. Jesus Christ, I need You to fill the hunger in my heart, the longing, the emptiness. I know something's missing. I just didn't know what it was. I need You, the bread of life, to fill up my heart so I'll never be hungry again. Lord, I need a spiritual bailout. And Jesus, today, I want to take the STS challenge. And this next year, I'm going to see You, Lord, as my source. And I'm going to trust You for today. And I ask You to help me to worry about nothing and pray about everything. And help me to thank You in all things and to keep my mind on the right things. And then I want to share whatever You give me, that what You give to me, You want to give through me. I want to focus on meeting others' needs so You can take care of mine. Help me to learn that whatever I give to You, You're going to multiply. And I pray this in Your name. Amen.
Hey, have you ever wondered how to cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind? Then I want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of biblical characters that face the very same issues. He offers concise, practical, and eye-opening insights that you can apply right away. You'll discover simple ways to incorporate God's truth into your personal life, your family, and your job, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life filled with purpose and significance. Be sure to request your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today when you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. That's our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.